Okay, we're in the Maamar Ravi, dealing with an extremely esoteric topic, which is God's names. Not that many people really care about God's names. I want bracha to make on sushi is a common topic, and even having kavan and shemen esrei is a topic. But the question of Rabbanu Shalom's names is something which is really a...
Sushi.
What?
Like
oh, I'm sorry. I told you people are interested in sushi. But the defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is always a tricky topic. And it's something that Rishonim delved into at great depth. And, I don't know, our generation is just not so philosophical. It's a more practical generation, probably because the science has advanced so much in practical sciences. Once upon a time, it was the theoretical sciences, and today, there's just so much knowledge. Nevertheless, we're trying, so let's try. We're on page 7 of our prints, which is in the middle of Ice Aleph of the Maimer, the last line, Hadaikus v'hamayli yaseira. He's going to talk about the Shem Hashem. Rav Palm used to say about Shemona Esrei, we start the Shemona Esrei, Baruch Hashem Lakeinu, we say, Lakei Aviseinu, Lakei Avram, Lakei Yitzchak, Lakei Yaakov. So he used to say that the Maamar Ravi on page 7. Rapam used to say that we don't really understand Mahusa Yisbarak. It's hard to understand the essence of what it means, what the word God means. So we say right away, Elokei, no, our God. What does it mean to be God? We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Yaakov. Avram Yitzchak have understood what it meant. So we're just plugging in whatever they understood. We go with that understanding.
It's something we can bring to life.
Something, what do you mean we bring to life?
What? Rabbi used to say that it's something that we can have an understanding of. You can't just say something, right?
Right.
And everything that was done to Avram, it wasn't just what Avram could see of God, and everything that had to do with Avram.
So he's going to explain, about the Shem Adnos. Last time we spoke about Elikim, which is Baal HaKoyches Kulam. We said the Ramban's pshat, which the Kuzari seem to follow, that Hashem is the word Elikim is Baal HaKoyches Kulam. The mashal I gave you is that if you're in a building and the fans are working and the lights are working and the microphone is working, so you might think there are different energy sources for each one. No, we know it all comes from one wire that comes from outside, one cable that comes, one energy source. So Elikim means that Hashem is the energy source for everything you see. That's Elikim. What about the Shem Adnos? Not the Shem Adnos, the Shem Yudke Vavke, the Shem Havaya. So Adekus Ma'amayla HaYisera, the highest level, or the most precise name of Hashem, Eino Ki'im B'Shem HaNichbad, the most honored name, Yudke Vavke, Yisparach. Now why do we say K? Why do we say Hey? Yudke Vavke. The Gemara says, HaHoyga Hashem V'Yis Yisem. We don't pronounce the Yud Kei Vav Kei as it's spelled. So we say, when we read the Yud Kei Vav Kei, we read the Shem Adnos. Taisus says, Haiga Hashem Bais Yosef is even to say Yud Hei and to say the letters consecutively. In the Lashem Yichud, it says Yud Hei Bivav Hei. What's the Bi? It's Yud Hei and then it's Vav Hei. But you say a Bi to be Mafsik, not to be Haiga Hashem Bais Yosef. So we say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Be that as it may, he says here now words which need explanation. He says, Yud Kei Vav Kei is Baruch Hu Shem Noida. The question is what Shem Noida means. There's a difference of opinion as to the understanding. Shem Noida seems to mean Shem Ha'etzem, what we call in Hebrew the proper noun for God's name. Now there's a difficulty, the two mafarshim here argue about this idea. The Kal Yehuda says, Ratzalayim is Shem Ha'etzem. It's Nichbad has a different mahalach. And the point is this. You don't give a name to something that's unique. You only give a name to something which can come in many forms, and therefore each form needs a name. For example, the stars have names, right? You give a name, you pick arbitrary names for each star. Because without a name, you don't know which star you're talking about. The sun, nobody gives a name to the sun. The sun is the sun. It's only one sun. So we just call it by its identifying name, the sun. There's no proper noun, for something that is, that's unique. And therefore, it's a little difficult to understand that the Shem HaNoida means Shem HaEtzem, means a proper noun in its normal sense. It's a very hard thing to understand. And for that reason, the Yotze Nichba goes into another pshat. In our printed Kuzari, on the next page, underneath is printed a Hagah that was put out in the first Tfus. The Hagah is basically we haven't had it in all the pages we learned. That Hagah is a collection of the words of the Rishayim, most notably the Ramban, on this, and he offers an alternative, a much more mastavadik pshat of Shem HaNoida. He says the Shem HaNoida is the name by which God is known to us. If it's better to the word Noida. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu by what? Now, the Avos knew Hashem by his performance. Hashem makes the world, you know, Avraham said, there's a world, there must be a creator. And from that, he saw what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and he came to the knowledge of a creator. Right? It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, Shmi Hashem, Loi Noidati Elohim. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't know the Shem Havaya. The Shem HaNoida, the name by which God lets himself be known, is the God who commands, who tells us, gives us instructions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give instructions to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, the Shem Havaya wasn't appropriate. They sure saw Shem Shakai, Shem Tzavakais. Wherever you see it in the Bria, there's a Shem Shakai, Shem Tzavakais. The Shem Havaya, according to this explanation, is a shame that, the shame of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Nevi'im and lets himself be known to the Nevi'im. So that's the idea of Shmi Hashem Lo Yinaydati Lahem. It's interesting, he brings here a Ramban from Parshas Yisrael. It says that Yisrael found out, Kol Asha Asa Elikim, all that Elikim did, Elikim is the source of all the power in the world. Then it says, Ki Haitzi Hashem, as many as Omi Eretz Yitzrayim, Kol Asha Asa Elikim, Ki Haitzi Hashem. There's a quote of the Ramban in this week's parasha, Hiskir Elikim Hashem Shahaya Yisrael Yodea Malafnim. How did Yisrael come to know God? God didn't appear to him and command him. So the name by which Yisrael knew Hashem was the same name as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the shame by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals to the world. V'chi haitzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael b'shmei ha'gadlo sh'nei da'ata yidei Moshe sh'bei nasa oisis. Moshe Rabbeinu came with commandments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's the shame Yudkei Vavkei. So I guess the trick is to notice it in the Chumash. We barely notice it. Lakim is God, and Hashem is God. What do we say in Yeshiva? Hashem Lakim, God to God. I don't remember how we touch it in Yiddish. Hashem Lakim, God our God, right, we would say. So it's really the way we think of it all the time. But the point he's making here, when you talk about the difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, right, Shmi Hashem, Lainedati Lahem, according to this Peshat, it's very geschmack. Because Shem Hashem is the Shem HaNoida, the Shem by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and lets his presence be known. He gives over, what does Hashem give over? He gives over the instructions to human beings as far as what to do. So it's a tremendous insight, especially into the beginning of Parshas Vayera and into the name. Let's read the words of the Kuzari. Hu Shem Noida Ramazela Bimidais. Loi Bimokim Echad. Ashaloi hayonayda, kiyoy nikra lakim bichlal, in nikra Hashem misyachtam. The Shem Hashem is specific, and the Shem Elakim is general. Ki'ilu shal, as if one would, hashayel, somebody would ask, and here it gets tricky, he says, Ezeo lakaroi lavoit, someone would ask, which God is it appropriate to serve? Hashemesh, hayoreach, hayashamayim, hayamazalois, which one? Each one has its own memshala in the world. Each one has its own power in the world. And each one can cause destruction or something positive. Tehat shuva Hashem. Here he seems to be saying that it's a proper name like Reuven and Shimon. Achrei asher yuva memilas Reuven and Shimon amitas atzmaseim. From the name Reuven and Shimon, you have an idea you can identify. The same thing, the Shem Hashem. Now, if we take this together, the idea is that the Shem Hashem that we know is the Shem Hashem that commands us on behavior in the world, and that's the, at least the understanding of what the Kuzari is saying here. Now, beyond this, I think you all know that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Havaya, is Haya Hoyva V'Iya, is a Shem that denotes eternity. Kadosh Baruch Hu always was, is, and will be. So somehow Haya V'Iya spells itself out in Yud Kei Vav Kei, in that Shem Hashem, which certainly seems to be true, but he's ignoring that totally. He hasn't mentioned a word about it. And for some understanding, he's saying that it's a Shem Ha'etzem, and that's that. Now, Mekubalim have the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey in different orders. In other words, there's Yud and Hey and the Vav and Hey, and there's Hey and Yud and Vav and Hey, and then there's, I think, 12 different combinations of the which correspond to the 12 months of the year, the 12 Shvatim, and whatever else comes in 12s. So that somehow, whatever the Mekubalim, however they understand it, each mixture of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name creates a different a set of circumstances. No doubt the one we're in the middle of is a cold one. So it depends. Each one has its own set of circumstances, its own identity, just like every month has its identity. Now, we learned the Gemara about the coinage of the time of the Gemara. It's very confusing always. You know, 192 and 4. And everything somehow seemed to revolve around 12s. In the ancient world, everything 12 or 12 months, and everything else seemed to revolve around things that are divisible by 12. We still have 60 minutes to the hour and 24 hours to the day, all divisible by 12s. The 12s are somehow the universal number of some sort. Just like today, we understand 10s. 10 seems to make more sense to us rather than 12s. But there was this combination of everything in 12s. And however I understand it, it comes back to this idea of 12 combinations, and they influence, a greater influence in the world. Okay, so anyway, that's his explanation of the Shem Havaya and the Shem Elokim, and the two ways that Hashem reveals himself. With someone who doesn't have Torah, he reveals himself by Kol Yachol, by being the powers that powers the world, and in his commandments, the Shem Havaya.
What's the makor of the Shem Hashem that the Kohanim used on Yom Kippur?
The makar, in Shulchan Aruch, in Torah Sanigla, there are seven names of Hashem. In Torah Sanistar, there are other names. What's interesting is that the Gemara generally stays away from the Shema Sanistar, and the Gemara does go in one place in Sukkah by Ani Vahayashian, when it talks about the Toshanis, the Sviva, which is all Kabbalistic ideas, talks about it. And Rashi tells you how to figure out the 42 letter name of God. But we have it in the Siddur, I don't know if this is Ashkenaz, in Ona V'chayach Gedulas Yemincha. So we have on the side of the page the Shem Hashem, Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tov Tzadik, has Kras Sota in the middle, etc. And we don't know exactly how to use it to do incredible things, what it means. But this is that's why we say Bar Shem Kavei Malchusei La'olam Vo'ed Yifta Ona V'chayach. So that's an idea that's... All right, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's a 42. It's Shem and Beis. 7 lines. Each one has 6.
Six.
It says when you say Ana B'Chayach, you should say it in twos. Ana B'Chayach, Kedulas Yemincha, except for one, except for Kabbalin Esamcha. But everything should be said in twos. Why it has to be said in twos, I don't know. But at least that's the idea. There's a world of Kabbalah, even though we don't throw ourselves into Kabbalah, it exists. So this is his presentation to the king. Amar HaKuzari, the king replies, Eich Oidia B'Shem Ma She'en Olav Remes. So he says, what does it mean? Knowing God. How does one know something that we have no clue about? Only me, myself. The only way we see God is from what he does. Deutz Nichba comments, Hakuzari lo yarad adayin l'saif das hachover. Bamrei shem noida. The trick is the word shem noida, the name by which Hashem lets himself be known. So again, the point is we recognize Hashem from his ma'isim and from his commandments. The Kuzar asked, we only know him from his ma'isim, and we're going to have a response to that. But he explains that really the concept of Shem Noida meant to answer it. Amar Achaver, Gimel. Aval, Roims in Allah Bervia Handavuis. The Chaver answers that it's not from, we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu from what he does. We recognize there's a God from it, but we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his commandments. And the Yitzchak Nechmet says that's the distinction between the Greek philosophers who sought to recognize Hashem from nature, which is a correct path of knowing Hashem, but they had no Mesorah, they had no line of commands that they got from God. But we come to a recognition of God from the Nevuah he gave to our prophets, Ubriya Haruchnias, Harias Masim, Uminarias Yaviyadam, Lapikursis, Ladeus Mufsadis. From the Rayas Masim, from a person who doesn't have commandments of God, just from observation, it can lead to mistakes, it can lead to misleading conclusions. Chimi Hevi Hamishnim, Vehimavde Alilim. They go and they create multiple sivais kedumais, multiple ultimate causes, and they do it from Elah harayis. They do it only from the rayis that they see in creation. Chinanchi akadmus, and also the previous generations. Mi aviam leimer bekadmus hagilgul, ishu sibis atzmi v'sibis ulasai. The idea of kadmus is the idea the Greeks had, that Olam Kadmain, that the world always existed. To me, it's one of the most fascinating parts of science, is that today, virtually all of science agrees that the world began at a certain moment, that there was a Big Bang, or however you put it, there was a moment of beginning. And today, I think all of science agrees. What's most fascinating is that that's all 50 years old in the scientific world. It's all, I mean, it goes back to Hubble, it goes back almost 100 years, but it wasn't accepted till about 50 years ago. I think in the book I put something, I mentioned in a Navi Shir once, I think it was 1959, there's an issue of Scientific American, where they polled scientists on whether there was a beginning, or whether Olam Kadmon, whether the world, what they called the steady state theory. Steady state theory says that the world always existed. And at that time, the majority of scientists still believed in the steady state theory. Einstein, until the end of his life, until Hubble disproved it, believed in the steady state theory. Now, you have to think about this. What does it mean? It means you have a world, and you say, there got to be a God. Somebody had to create the world. So the answer is no, the world always existed. Today, it's mind-boggling, but how does that answer the question? Because how we get here, this is, we didn't get here, we're always here. Today, once it's disproved, it's a mind-boggling resolution of an issue. And it's extremely, extremely difficult to understand, like he writes in his book. In the book, The Origin of Time, what's his name, Hawkins. Hawkins writes in his introduction that an old lady said, who's holding the world up? And the lady said, a gigantic turtle. Who's holding the turtle? A bigger turtle. He said, well, who's holding that? So she says, you don't understand. There's turtles all the way down. There's turtles all the way down. So, you know, there's no question, because every time there's new turtles. So it's a very, the whole idea of Olam HaKadmon is hard. Every Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, as soon as it disappears, sounds ludicrous. But when it's here, it sounds real. So the steady state theory, which in our lifetime, is debunked, is today nobody believes, everyone believes it's an origin, original moment, where matter, somehow came into being. So the idea of Olam Kadmon is already a silly thing. So today there are no concepts of how the Big Bang might have happened. So he's referring to that here. He says, Anshei HaKadmus, those who believed in Olam HaKadmus, Mi Avim Leimer B'Kadmus HaGilgul, V'Shusibas Atzmai, V'Sibas Ulasai, who gave them to think that the heavenly bodies have always been here? Ela Harei Ria, only Harei's, only from their observation. V'Chein Avdei HaShemesh, Avdei HaEsh, Harei's, Hevi Eis HaMazah. His point is that from observation alone, you can come to a conclusion, but the conclusion is not proven, is not absolute. And therefore, if you believe in a God from observations, you can believe there's a God, but until you have commandments, it's hard to identify the God. And that's the point that he's making here. We'll continue with this on Tuesday.